Morning. I just want to set the expectation level. I am not a preacher. I am not a pastor. Probably not even a sermon giver. My wife probably won't like this analogy. I am just one dog showing other dogs where to find some food. So this morning I had Abram pray over me on the way in, and he prayed that God would give me courage and strength, and just in case God says no, Ryan is going to drag me out if I go down, and Ross is going to close in a prayer. So I'm going to open with prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for today, Lord. We thank you for opportunities to study your word, Lord. We thank you for our families and friends and this country. And Lord, we just ask that your word would be straight and true to our hearts, Lord, and we just thank you for opportunities to share and to be bold, and Lord, we thank you for the confidence that we have in you. In Jesus' name we pray. I titled the sermon, Am I Ready for Battle? And as I was thinking about all the wars that our country has been in, and someday the young men in this church might be called to fight in battle, and what would the United States government do with them? They would make them ready for war. They would make them ready to succeed. They'd give them all the right tools to win. I mean, Americans don't like to lose. And Christ does not want us to lose. So I'm going to read out of Ephesians 6. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand. So that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes.
Sorry, guys. It's a good icebreaker.
And against the powers of this dark world and against the spiritual forces of the devil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that you, when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to this, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the Lord's people. Pray also for me, and whenever I speak, words may be given to me so that I will be fearless. Make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. And as we talk about the battle that we need to get ready for, to protect our families, to protect our children, to protect our lineage, I think of, you know, I was raised to be a protector, and when I go into a restaurant with my family, I'm looking around for threats, and can I take that guy? And I'm like, but sometimes I lack in, am I protecting my family spiritually? And I feel that I am a lot of times, that I lack to be aware of what the devil is trying to do, get tied up with being busy with work and making money, and I miss opportunities that God has given me. So like it or not, we are in a battle, a spiritual battle. The church was never meant to be a fancy cruise liner. It was meant to be a battleship. And we were born for battle, and we'll get into that. And we were also born to win. We know we win. We just got to finish the battle. So we must, first of all, we must know our enemy. And Ephesians 6, 11, 12 lays out who our enemy is. So you can take and stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggles are not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So we know there's a devil. We know Satan is real, and we can see it in our lives. And sometimes we think that it's not our fight, that we can get by without fighting. And There's a story of four young boys sitting around talking and laughing, and the mother comes in and goes, "Hey, what are you guys doing?" And she goes, "Well, we're playing war." And he goes, "Well," she goes, "it doesn't look like you're playing war." And she goes, he goes, "Well, we're all generals." Well, that doesn't work very good in a war, does it, if we're all generals? So some people just want to sit by and talk the talk, but we still need the guys that are going to go to war. So now we know who our enemy is, and what does our enemy want? Right? What's that, Ben? Souls and our seed. He wants Samuel and Levi and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren. So if he can help us to stumble, he has a good chance of getting generations before somebody steps up and fights. So if we do not prepare for battle, we will lose. I mean, if these young men never have to go to war and they do what Russia did in World War II, just picked them up in the country and sent them into war, your chances of survival are not very good. But if you're prepared for battle, you have a good chance to win. So God has given us the equipment to fight. I don't know if anybody knows who Adrian Rogers is, but he's probably my favorite guy to listen to. And I got some of this from him, so I don't want to take credit for some of this. Well, most of it. But anyways, so we must stand our ground. And then if we look at verse 13, it says, "Stand your ground." And in the Strong's dictionary, it says, you know, I always thought just stand firm. But it's a verb suggesting vigorously opposing, bravely resisting, standing face to face against an adversary, standing your ground. So it's a little more than just sitting down and holding your ground. So let's go right into the armor that everybody has probably heard many times, but the belt of truth. The belt of truth is integrity. Truth is integrity. Doing what is right when no one is looking. And doing what is right no matter what the cost. And we all know guys that have, or ladies that have integrity. How do we look at them? I mean, I look up to guys that have integrity. That'll stand up when somebody uses the Lord's name and say, "Hey, not with me." They're a witness just by their integrity. The breastplate of righteousness is purity, to confess all of our sins. And I think me in particular, I struggle with that because there's probably some little sins that I don't know are sins or I don't want to confess. And just a little sin is a crack in the armor, and it lets Satan get a little bit of a foothold in your life, just a little bit, you know. And if you don't clean house, my dad always used to call it the TV, the idiot box. I mean, he's not wrong. It depends what you watch on it. So the shoes of peace, which would be tranquility. You have to have an inner peace to go to war. Only the inner peace that is the Holy Spirit can bring. I got another little story about peace. There was a flight going from New York to LA, and it was full of storms and turbulence, and it was a really, really rough ride, and people were panicking, and I don't know if some of you have been on a flight like that. I have, coming back from Africa, and those things came out of the ceilings, and people were crying, and it was a little intense, and this little boy, or young boy, was sitting there by himself, totally at peace, reading a book. And everybody was in awe that he never acted or was scared. And after the flight landed, a man went up to him and said, "You know, little boy, how are you so calm in the midst of the storm?" And he goes, "Well, that's easy. My daddy's flying. He's the pilot." And so our daddy's flying our ship, right? So if we have confidence in our dad, our earthly or heavenly father, we know that we will be safely home. I mean, it doesn't mean we're going to get away with no rough stuff, but our end game is heaven. So, and then we go to the shield of faith, and that is certainty. Satan attacks us in doubt and laziness. You know, in college, they're going to try to get you to doubt creation, you know. Atheists or other religions will doubt your forgiveness because, oh, you're not good enough for forgiveness. And doubt God's love. He can't love somebody like me. Doubt that there is eternal life. And then one of the biggest things is doubt your abilities. I think a lot of us struggle with doubting our ability to share God's love, to share God's word. So we need to feed our faith and starve our doubts. So how do we starve our doubts? By knowing God, spending time with Jesus. You know, the whole idea of the armor of God is pretty much just putting Jesus Christ on all the time. So I got a little clip of a movie. I'm sure many of you have seen it. If Shelley could play that.
So, Coach, how strong is Westview this year?
A lot stronger than we are.
You already written Friday night down as a loss, Brock?
Well, not if I know we could beat them.
Come here, Brock. You too, Jeremy.
What, am I in trouble now?
Not yet. I want to see you do the death crawl again, except I want to see your absolute best.
What, you want me to go to the 30?
I think you can go to the 50.
The 50? I can go to the 50 if nobody's on my back.
I think you can do it with Jeremy on your back. But even if you can, I want you to promise me you're going to do your best.
All right.
Your best.
Okay.
You going to give me your best?
I'm going to give you my best.
All right, one more thing. I want you to do it blindfolded.
Why?
Because I don't want you giving up at a certain point when you can go further. Get down. Jeremy, get on his back. Now get a good tight hold, Jeremy. All right. Let's go, Brock. Keep your knees off the ground. Just your hands and feet. There you go. A little bit left. A little bit left.
I bet he does it.
There you go. Show me good effort. That away, Brock. You keep coming. There you go. It's a good start. A little bit left. A little bit left. There you go, Brock. Good strength. That's it, Brock. That's it.
I'm out of the 20 yet.
Forget the 20. You give me your best. You keep going. That's it. No, don't stop, Brock. You got more in you than that.
I ain't done. Just resting a second.
You gotta keep moving. Let's keep moving. Let's go. Don't quit till you got nothing left. There you go. Keep moving. Keep moving. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. You keep driving. Keep your knees off the ground. Keep driving it. Your very best. Your very best. Your very best. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. That's it. That's it. Keep going. Don't quit on me. Keep going. Keep driving it. Keep your knees off the ground. That's it. Your very best. Don't quit on me. Your very best. Keep driving. Keep driving. There you go. There you go. That's it. You keep driving. Keep your knees off the ground. Keep driving it. Don't quit till you got nothing left. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. That's it. That's it. Keep going. I want everything you got. Come on. Keep going.
It hurts.
Don't quit on me. Your very best. Keep driving. Keep driving. There you go. There you go.
He's heavy.
I know he's heavy.
I'm bad out of strength.
Then you negotiate with your body to find more strength, but don't you give up on me, Brock. You keep going, you hear me? You keep going. You're doing good. You keep going. Do not quit on me. You keep going.
It hurts.
I know it hurts. You keep going. You keep going. It's all hard from here. 30 more steps. You keep going, Brock. Come on. Keep going.
Burn.
And let it burn.
My arms are burning.
It's all hard. You keep going, Brock. Come on. Come on. Keep going. You promised me your best. Your best. Don't stop. Keep going.
Too hard.
It's not too hard. You keep going. Come on, Brock. Give me more. Give me more. Keep going. 20 more steps. 20 more. Keep going, Brock. Give me your best. Don't quit. No. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. Brock Kelly, you don't quit. Keep going. Keep going. Go, Brock Kelly. You don't quit on me. No, you keep going. You keep going. Go, Brock. 10 more steps. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. Keep going. Don't quit. Give me your heart. You can. You can. 5 more. 5 more. Come on, Brock. Come on. Don't quit. Don't quit. Come on, Brock. 2 more. 1 more.
It's got to be 50. I don't have any more.
Look up, Brock. You're in the end zone. Brock, you are the most influential player on this team. If you walk around defeated, so will they. Don't tell me you can't give me more than what I've been seeing. You just carried a 140-pound man across this whole field in your arms. Brock, I need you. God's gifted you with the ability of leadership. Don't waste it.
Coach?
Can I count on you?
Yes.
Coach?
What is it, Jeremy?
I weigh 160.
Dads, I think that about says it. Are we giving them our best? Are we carrying our families across the finish line? You know, a lot of people don't have it as good as I have it and weren't raised as good as I was raised, and they have a harder time. And that doesn't mean that God doesn't have great things in their future. It's they might have to fight harder. They might have to work harder. But, you know, halfway through that thing, he says, Give me your heart. And I can just see Jesus beside us as we're going through our life on his knees, slamming the ground, saying, a little bit harder, a little bit harder. You got more. You got more. And I think we sell ourselves short. And maybe we don't clothe ourselves in Jesus. Maybe we don't spend our time in the Word. I mean, those are all things that'll bring us closer to the end zone of life. It's easy to get caught up in the things of the world, but if we keep in mind our end zone, our real end zone, and stay focused on that. So, and as he was carrying that, you know, at first all the boys are laughing, you know, thinking this is kind of funny. He's going to get to 30 and shut down, you know, big lug. And as he passed the 50 or whatever it was, all of a sudden he had some influence in the other guys on the team's life. And maybe it was just football, maybe it was more than that, but they saw his intensity and how hard he would push. And, you know, and I think, are my boys seeing that out of me spiritually? You know, they know Dad gets up and goes to work and probably works hard. But do they see me spending time with them in the Word? Do they see Dad and Mom doing devotion together? Do they see Dad working hard to protect his marriage? So, anyways, I mean, like I said, I titled it, Am I Ready for the Battle? I'm not asking if you are. Those are questions you need to ask yourself. So we get into the fight. We stand in the victory that Jesus Christ has already won. And we put on the helmet of salvation, which is sanity, a mind being controlled by Christ. Train and practice to think with the mind of Christ. That's tricky because we're sinful and we're going to fail. But that goes back to, I mean, he kind of laid it out pretty good. That goes back to the breastplate of righteousness, purity, to confess all of our sins. So we are going to fail. I've heard a lot of sermons on this, and they always say the one offensive weapon is the sword, and I might tend to disagree with that. Seen enough movies that if your sword breaks, you know, you see guys with their helmet, you know, so it is an offensive weapon. Our salvation, our mind is an offensive weapon against the devil. And then he says, pick up your sword, the Spirit, the Word of God. And then if you go on to how does Jesus shut Satan down when he was tempted in the desert, Matthew 4:1-4. What does anybody remember what he says to the devil when he's poking fun at him? It is written. He used the Word of God and shut him down, ran him through 3 times. And so if we don't know our Word, and we aren't using the Word, and we're not saturating ourselves in the Word, we aren't truly ready for battle against Satan. So, and we all probably could do a little better on that one. So, or I can. So, So we are at war. We're at war for our marriage, for our kids, for our friends, for our own faith, for our church, for the church. We don't understand what Satan is up to. I mean, I don't think we can possibly understand what he's doing, but the Holy Spirit does know. And he is ready to go to war with us, for us. So if we spend our time in the Spirit and praying, he has promised to be there for us. And if we go back to Ephesians, verse 18 says, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep praying for the Lord's people." He doesn't say just pray for yourself. It says pray for the Lord's people. That is a really, really good point. You know, how often do we pray for our church and our pastor and leadership, and, you know, we pray for our families and our friends, but we need to pray for each other. And so I got one more short clip, but I'm going to kind of lay this one out for you. It's a little different. As you're watching this, think of the devil is not going to play fair, right? He's going to use whatever he can to win. And then Jesus has stepped in by dying on the cross and rising again. He has stepped in and gave us an opportunity to win. Jesus will empower us, and some people won't receive it. They just won't. They don't want his power. And then his power is shown when we stand firm. And as we stand firm in Jesus, we have victory. And once we know that we have victory, what can we do then? We can go on offense and remove all doubt. So Shelly's going to play this one, and then that'll be it, and I'll pray.
Hey, Mr. Fisher, can I talk to you for a second?
Back off, coach, if you want to stay in this game.
I've got holding on 78 white.
What are you trying to cheat my boys out of the game? 15 more yards.
Fisher, let them play, ref. Let them play.
Reasonable.
Let them play. Let the boys play. Cheetah.
Coach, come on.
Cheetah.
Go, 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 go!
I know all about it, Titus.
What are you talking about, Bill?
You call this game fair, or I'll go to the papers. I don't care if I go down with you. But before God, I swear I'll see every last one of you thrown in jail.
You dig your own grave.
Ethan, on me!
Okay, Petey, don't you drift to the strong side.
Coach, they're calling a holding penalty on me every time.
Did I ask for your excuses? You want to act like a star? You better give me a star effort, do you hear me?
Forget about him! Alan! You're it! Come on!
All right. Now, I don't want them to gain another yard.
You blitz all night! And if they cross the line of scrimmage, I'm gonna take every last one of you out. You make sure they remember forever the night they played the Titans. What?
Yourself comfortable down there. Real comfortable.
Rocky!
Coach.
All right, baby. All right.
You brought us here, Coach.
Run it up, Herman. Lead no doubt.
Had the confidence to tell the devil, get comfortable down there because Christ is stronger than he is, right? If we hold the line, if we stand with Christ, if we put the armor on, we can have the confidence to tell the devil, to point him in the eye and say, hey, you don't get me, you don't get my kids, you don't get my grandkids. So anyways, that's what I had, so let's close in prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your word, Lord. We thank you for the confidence that we have in you, Lord, and help us to be willing to be a warrior for you, Lord. Help us to not sit back and wait for somebody else to step up and do it, Lord. Help us to step up and fight for our families and our church and for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.